At the end of the festival, Niketana Ram Das went away, offering his blessings to everyone. At that time, he had some controversy with my brother. My brother had a firm faith in Lord Chaitanya, but only a dim glimmer of faith in Lord Nityananda. Knowing this, Sri Ramadas felt unhappy in his mind. I then rebuked my brother. These two brothers, I told him, are like one body. They are identical manifestations. If you do not believe in Lord Nityananda, you will fall down. If you have faith in one but disrespect the other, your logic is like the logic of accepting half a hen. It would be better to be an atheist by slighting both brothers than a hypocrite by believing in one and slighting the other. Thus, Sri Ram Das broke his flute in anger and went away. At that time, my brother fell down. I have thus described the power of the servants of Lord Nityananda. Now I shall describe another characteristic of his mercy. That night, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream because of my good quality of chastising my brother. In the village of Jamattapura, which is near Naihaiti, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream. There is a purport here. There is now a railway line to Jatmattampura. If one wants to go there, he can take a train on the Katwa railway line and go directly to the station known as Salada. From that station, one can go directly to Jatmattampura. Continuing on. I fell at his feet, offering my obeisances, and he then placed his own lotus feet upon my head. "Arise, get up," he told me again and again. Upon rising, I was greatly astonished to see his beauty. He had a glossy, blackish complexion, and his tall, strong, heroic stature made him look like Cupid himself. He had beautifully formed hands, arms, and legs, and eyes like lotus flowers. He wore a silk cloth and a silk turban on his head. He wore golden earrings in his ears and golden armlets and bangles. He wore tinkling anklets on his feet and a garland of flowers around his neck. His body was anointed with sandalwood pulp, and he was very nicely decorated with tilak. His movements surpassed those of a maddened elephant. His face was more beautiful than millions and millions of moons, and his teeth were like pomegranate seeds because of his chewing betel. His body moved to and fro, right and left, and he was absorbed in ecstasy. He chanted Krishna, Krishna in a deep voice. His red stick moving in his hand, he seemed like a maddened lion. All around the four sides of his feet were bumblebees. His devotees, dressed like cowherd boys, surrounded his feet like so many bees and also chanted Krishna, Krishna, absorbed in ecstatic love. Some of them playing horns and flutes, and others danced and sang. Some of them offered betel nuts, and others waved chamara fans about him. Thus I saw such opulences in Lord Nityananda's sarup. His wonderful form, qualities, and pastimes are all transcendental. I was overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy, not knowing anything else. Then Lord Nityananda smiled and spoke to me as follows. O my dear Krishna Das, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things. After saying this, he directed me toward Vrindavan by waving his hand. Then he disappeared with his associates. I fainted and fell to the ground. My dream broke, and when I regained consciousness, I saw that morning had come. I thought about what I had seen and heard and concluded that the Lord had ordered me to proceed to Vrindavan at once. That very second I started for Vrindavan, and by his mercy I reached there in great happiness. All glories to Lord Nityananda Balaram, by whose mercy I have attained shelter in the transcendental abode of Vrindavan. All glories to the merciful Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained the shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan. That was a nice dream that this devotee had. So now we're going to go to this verse. By his mercy, I have attained the shelter of the great personality Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, and by his mercy, I have found the refuge of Sarup Damodar. The purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Anyone desiring to become expert in the service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna should always aspire to be under the guidance of Sarup Damodar Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami. To come under the protection of the Goswamis, one must get the mercy and grace of Nityananda Prabhu. The author has tried to explain this fact in these two verses. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Paramanityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sri Gaurabhadabanda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is the text begins, or what we were reading before about this dream that this devotee had, a very significant dream, and he received an order from Lord Nityananda. In that dream, he was to go to Vrindavan. So one might think, well, that's a very simple order. So the order of the spiritual master is no ordinary thing. The spiritual master or the sadhus, they know the absolute truth. They know how to guide the conditioned souls and place them at the lotus feet of initially, of course, and always. They are guided to the devotees. Krishna likes to or makes arrangements to guide the jiva through to him via his devotees. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, in one essay he wrote, he's mentioning the fact that the jiva, he is so tiny, he is very small. And Krishna is so powerful, it is difficult to imagine the unlimited qualities and opulences of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in order for the jiva to be connected to such a personality, it is not such a... The small jiva has no power to understand the or connect himself directly to Krishna. He cannot do so. So therefore, he makes arrangements via Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda is the original spiritual master. And he takes on that role of connecting the jiva to Krishna. There's the external energies of Krishna, and there is the internal energies of Krishna. So the Nityananda Ram, he takes that position of connecting the tiny jiva to the personality of Krishna. So that is one significant point, that some people think they can directly approach God, but it is not possible to directly approach God in that way. Even us, if we want, Prabhupada gives the analogy, and we've heard so many times, if we want to go and see some big personality, it's not possible for us just to walk in the door unannounced. Is it? We have to go through various people. So it's, you know, it's logic that one has to go through various means to come to that point. So this order of Nityananda is very significant. Go to Vrindavan, but Lord Nityananda, as the spiritual master, he knew what the result would be if one were to go to Vrindavan. He knew that in Vrindavan, what is the significance of going there? There are self-realized souls there who could further guide the jiva on his path to Krishna consciousness. Similarly, you could say, Srila Prabhupada, he, when he met his guru, you know, on that that famous time when he was walking with his Guru Maharaj. His Guru Maharaj, oh, you should print, whenever you ever get money, print books. So the significance of that simple order, Prabhupada took that to heart. So it's quite interesting to note that the spiritual master's orders take one to certain places. And ultimately, they will bring one directly to the lotus feet of Krishna. You know, like there is that part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think, where it mentions the seed of devotion is planted, and then through regularly hearing and chanting, that seed grows, more and more, penetrates out into the, from the material universes, and ultimately takes rest at the lotus feet of Krishna. And then the fruits of love of God, the flowers open. The flowers of... there's another part in the Shastra which describes the different types of consciousness that the living entity is in. Budding consciousness, isn't it? Budding consciousness. And then what is this? Different types. Anyone remember the full blossoming consciousness and then like that? How does it start? It's
covered.
Blossoming. Oh, yes, shrunken consciousness, then blossoming, and then, yeah, fully blossoming. So this fully blossoming of consciousness is required. We have to, what is that fully blossoming consciousness? It is actually a manifestation of love, that one fully accepts and fully places one's full attention and love at the lotus feet of Krishna and his associates. This is when one does that, then fully blossoming consciousness comes about. Otherwise, if one does not do that, his consciousness is attracted to other parts of Krishna's creation. So the great glory of Krishna and his associates are manifested to one who has developed fully blossoming consciousness. This is an exhibition of love. So the whole purport of Krishna consciousness is to establish one's original pure love for Krishna. Presently, due to I don't know, so many different situations, we each of us, we are all souls, individual souls. I don't know what journey you guys have been on, where you've been for the last billions of lives. I do not know. But who knows? Even we have forgotten, practically. This is such a thing. But we have to take for the knowledge of this fact is described in the scripture. Brahmananda Varamati Gona Bhagavanji Guru Krishna Prasad. We are wandering, wandering, wandering all over these universes, it's said. So many millions of lifetimes we have tried, I don't know why, but we tried to be an enjoyer. But we have not been very successful. But to come to that point of realizing that, not such an easy thing. People are still trying to become an enjoyer. We are still trying to enjoy. So if you look at the creation, even this one planet, it is a strange place in one sense. You could look at, let's take the oceans of the world. In the oceans of the world, there are some very deep, dark places. And in that particular dark, deep ocean, there may be one fish swimming. And, you know, one wonders why it is that that fish is situated in that position, in this deep, dark ocean. Why? You know, and sometimes some of these creatures, they might live there for a significant period of time. Like, for instance, a lobster. Did you know a lobster can live up to 100 years? Lobster can live up to 100 years. So why is it that Krishna would want to, or why is it that the jiva is placed in such a situation? And over 100 years living in the bottom of the ocean. But, you know, when you look at it, when you think about it, to us it seems a long period of time to be imprisoned in such a body. But actually in terms of eternity, it is an insignificant portion of time. But so many arrangements like this are being made by Krishna. So therefore, the guru, when we get to the human form of life, we can contemplate these matters and take the matter further to its end. And this is the human form of life. It is very significant. You cannot understand this type of philosophy and understanding of spirituality without being a human being. So it's a very significant body to be in. Very significant body to be in. And when we say like that, you think, oh, so what? Human form of life is a very significant body. But actually it has deep meaning. It has deep meaning. The human form of life is so valuable. So we should make sure we utilize it properly. And this is utilized by taking shelter of Krishna's devotees, ultimately. Of course, if you want, there's so many people thinking about life and its purposes. There's many artists, many philosophers, many religionists who are also speaking on the topic of spirituality. And you might think that they have some value. And in one sense you could say, well, maybe they do. But they will take you to some understanding of spirituality. But we should have faith and fully recognize where the Krishna consciousness movement and the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis are about to take us. Because there's no other means to attain such intimacy with Krishna other than what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught. So that is a very significant part about the Hare Krishna movement. I don't think any other philosophy can take you to that point. Maybe one can be taken to a relationship with God through other philosophies and religions to the point of awe and reverence. Some understanding of God might be there, but the significance of the Krishna consciousness movement is to be understood in terms of relationships, which is discussed in the scriptures. So these things are not understood very easily. And an access to this truth, we have to understand. How do we get access to this truth? And I'm not talking about an intellectual understanding of this topic. Because Krishna consciousness is not just an intellectual understanding. We have to go further than just simply intellectually understanding a topic. We must feel the topic deeply. And the access to spirituality must be there, deep within our hearts. How to do this? This is another truth about the glories of Lord Nityananda. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he speaks on this topic as well. He says that the access to the real meaning of the scriptures is not furnished by the language, but by the spiritual preceptor, Sri Guru, he mentions. So, the process of enlightenment by the Guru is a spiritual, it's spiritual in its nature, and the method cannot be understood except by his grace. So these are important points. And Sri Nityananda, he is the source of the power of the Guru. He is the servant of Lord Chaitanya, and it is through him that the Supreme manifests himself to the souls of all men. I'm reading from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta now. These cannot be a direct... So the spiritual master is the personality and the guru and the sadhus, because of their realization of the topic, then there is knowledge which is imparted. Tadvani paripatana paripashnena sevaya upadikstanti teganam jnanastapadashanaha. It is by that process that one can understand Krishna consciousness. By hearing from someone who has knowledge of the topic, and by serving that personality, then the revelation takes place. That is Krishna consciousness philosophy, isn't it? Do you agree? Or can we understand the topic? Otherwise, why did Lord Nityananda send this devotee to the guidance of Sarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, to come under the protection of these devotees? Why did he do that? Because he wanted them to associate with these devotees and to hear about Krishna from them. That is the process. Now, this is this particular verse reminds me of that song that is sung by Narottam Das Thakur. The song is all about taking shelter of Krishna's devotees. Haha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi. That verse is there in that song. That Nityananda, he is always joyful in spiritual bliss. And in this song, he's praying that you put your merciful glance on me because I am not joyful. I am not happy. I need your merciful glance. And Narottam Das Thakur in this song, he also prays that he wants the company of his personal friend, Ramachandra. So this is also significant that the Hare Krishna movement has been started by Srila Prabhupada in order for us to get association of each other, create friendships amongst each other, and discuss Krishna conscious philosophy together. And also give association to younger devotees, make friendships with our peers, and also to hear from and serve devotees who are more advanced than ourselves. That is our whole process. And this song by Narottam Das Thakur, he mentions these things. He prays, Haha Sarup Sanatan Rupa Raghunath. Sarup refers to Sarup Damodar, who is the secretary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He made so many arrangements for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For instance, when he was in the Gambira, he would read certain texts which were put Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in certain moods. So like that, the devotees are so important to us, and it's very important for us to seek out the association of advanced devotees. We should not be shy for that. In fact, we should be very greedy for that. That is our greed should be. We must look out and take association of advanced devotees. That is the whole process, and that is the reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's the reason why Srila Prabhupada has created the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And this is going on, isn't it? Is it not in the society of ISKCON we have these things? We have friendships amongst ourselves. We serve together. We discuss Krishna Consciousness philosophy together. We also have younger devotees coming in, and we try to give association and help. And we have many senior Vaishnavas, and we can contact them, speak to them in various ways, and put questions to them and serve them. And the result will be, if we do that process, we will find ourselves becoming free from the modes of nature, actually. The symptom of one who has gotten the mercy of Nityananda in this song by Narottam Das Thakur is that there will be no more material desires. That is a very important point. The result, you'll know whether you've got association of advanced devotees, because by following their instructions, there'll be no more material desires. That'll be the result. So if you find yourself with material desires that won't go away, that persistently come, in your subtle mind, and also even in some cases grossly manifested, then you will know I haven't got that mercy of Nityananda, because these material desires, they're still coming. They're still coming. So how to Parishwam Prabhu, Hare Krishna. So this is the test. Prabhupada also said like that as well. You'll know if you're advancing. I think he said if you've given up envy is one thing, lust and envy. I think he said like that. So we need the association of such devotees. So we must be very introspective, look at ourselves, our own conditioning, always checking and balancing, and give up mental speculation, and render service and hear from devotees who are obviously engaged in devotional life. We're not only engaged in devotional life in their external service, but also their whole being, their whole thoughts are always with Krishna. They only speak about Krishna, actually. The symptom of a pure devotee, he only speaks about Krishna. Everything he says, everything he thinks is connected to Krishna. He is very eager and very absorbed in the topics. That is a fact. And therefore, in our prayers to the spiritual master, that is discussed. If you want to know what is the qualifications of a bona fide guru, you simply study that verse. And there you will see what is the qualifications of the guru. So the significance of associating with such devotees, and then in their association, you'll know that the process is taking place correctly, because your material desires will decrease and your spiritual desires will increase. You will be very eager, for instance, to study the books. That's one thing. This is in that song by Narottam Das Thakur. When will I be eager to study the books left by the Goswamis? And Prabhupada mentions in the purport to that song, one has to learn of the conjugal mellow through the teachings of the Goswamis. He directs us not to understand by our own endeavors, but under their direction. And under the direction of general guru, sadhu, shastra, we should, these things can be understood. Now, there's one important point to bring out in this, because on one hand it says you should be very eager to study the books of the Goswamis. On the other hand, if we take that as an academic process, that is not so helpful for us. If we simply think that Krishna consciousness is an academic pursuit, if we cram in all kinds of information, what's said here, what's said there, and we think that, and then we go to an exam and pass an exam, get this degree, that degree, and now, yes, we now become Krishna conscious. That is not the case, actually. Although Srila Prabhupada did set up such systems of examination, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, he set that up because he wanted his sannyasis to be knowledgeable and his devotees to be knowledgeable. But it is not simply by that process that one can understand Krishna. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was warning of the works of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he was publishing them works, but he drew attention to the readers and cautioned them that simply by an academic study of the works of Bhaktivinoda Thakur will not take you to the ultimate goal of life, because he's mentioning that if you actually study the works, the one of the things that is mentioned is that one should hear directly about Krishna from the pure devotee. So that is very important. The transcendental sound that the realized soul will speak, it is through that process. Now, why is that? One could study and think about these things. Why is that? Why, if you want to understand a topic, why can you not understand a topic simply by studying a book? And there is an example of this in terms of, for instance, if you wanted to become a surgeon. Can you become a surgeon simply by studying books? Or do you have to become a surgeon by seeing another surgeon and by, you know, watching the surgeon practically, you know, through his knowledge? So in that sense, you cannot become a surgeon simply by that. You'll never be accepted. If you start open a hospital and they say, "Oh, where did you get your quality? Oh, I read this, and now I've set up a hospital," you will not be accepted. So does the same thing apply to Krishna consciousness? Why can we not just study books? Srila Prabhupada has left so many books. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has left so many books. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta has left so many books. So this is a question. I knew Parashrava would want to say something on this topic. So what is the question? Yes, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, yes.
It was actually thrown at them.
Really?
From Lithuania.
Ah.
And those couple were chanting 16 rounds and everything without actually having met devotees.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the book says you have to meet devotees.
Yeah.
So, but also the book is Sapta Brahman.
Yes. The point is, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, that if you study what's in the books, the conclusion is that you must go and associate with devotees of Krishna, and you must hear from them. That is the conclusion, and you will find that if you simply take the books and read them without associating with devotees, the question is, what level of consciousness will you come to? Now, one point to bear in mind is that devotees of, we were saying before, what is it, where have we been in our previous lives? Who have we associated with in our previous lives? So you may find a situation where in previous life you were already starting your spiritual practice. And in the Bhagavad Gita it is said that if you are an unsuccessful yogi, then automatically you will take up that process of Krishna consciousness again. So it's not that one thing fits all. Every one of us is in a different situation. So, supposing that there was a devotee who had very advanced in his spirituality, then some reason he left his body and he has to continue on with his spiritual life. So then what will happen is that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one automatically will become attracted, and wherever you finished your previous spiritual life, you will continue on. So there's no doubt that there is cases where devotees will pick up Srila Prabhupada's books, as Parashuram has given an example. And that devotee becomes very enthusiastic and he accepts and he immediately places himself in Krishna conscious position. So there's no doubt that that will be the case. And there are other people in different situations who may take longer to come to that point. So, but the books being Shabda Brahman, this is the point which Srila Bhakti Siddhanta is mentioning, that actually they are Shabda Brahman. But he emphasizes the importance of hearing that topic from a devotee, then the Shabda Brahman descends. That's the point he's making in Parashuram. He's making that point. That the books become Shabda Brahman when the devotee is speaking the books, but also the books are Shabda Brahman as well. That is also discussed. Both points are there.
No, they don't become, they are the tapes, the books are already.
Yeah.
Well, because you need to hear, yeah, like,
what do you mean you need to hear?
No, like the books, like the Gayatri tape Prabhupada would send to his devotees for initiation sometimes.
Yeah.
No,
what he said was, in that regard, he said he gave the analogy of Lord Brahma. And when Lord Brahma heard the word tapa, Lord Brahma understood that vibration to be transcendental. And he gave, you know, because someone said that this transcendental sound, no material, I got a note actually, one second, interesting topic to discuss, by the way. It's not, you know, we should thoroughly understand this topic. And, in that regard, let's have a look. Yeah, the Shabda Brahman descends through Krishna's devotees. When Brahma heard the word tapa, he could understand the words were transcendental. And if you look at the purport there, of that particular verse, it is said that his acceptance of the sound was due to his pure vision of the absolute nature of the Lord. Due to his correct vision, he made no distinction between the Lord and the sound vibration coming from him. So this is an important point, that because Lord Brahma was, he could, due to his pure vision. What do you mean by Lord Brahma? Lord Brahma was no ordinary personality. He was the head of the Sampradaya. When he heard the word tapa, he understood them to be absolute. So, now, the point that you're making, Prabhu, is the potency of the transcendental sound is never minimized because the vibrator is apparently absent. That's the point you're making. Therefore, Shastra are never considered an ordinary mundane sound without transcendental potency. That's the point you're making. But there again, Prabhupada says, directly after he says that, he says, The secret of success is to receive the sound through the right source. The bona fide guru who has realized the sound. And then he further goes on to say, seemingly, transcendental sound received through unauthorized persons has no potency. So, for instance, if a scholar from Oxford who was not a devotee, who was not following, if he reads the Shastra, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, reads it, what potency does it have? He is unauthorized, therefore he has no potency. So it appears that the sound from the Shastra is not Shabda Brahman in that case. So this is the debate which we have to consider all angles on. You know. So and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions. And then he further goes on to say in that purport, one should be qualified enough to discern such a sound, either by discriminating or by good fortune and what did he say? Good fortune or chance. Yeah, but by good fortune to be able to receive such a sound from a bona fide guru. Generally, it is that we have to discriminate. We have to discriminate. Who is vibrating correct sound? Who is vibrating not correct sound? Who is vibrating academically? And who is vibrating a sound because he realizes the topic? Because if we really want to advance and become free from the modes of nature, we have to associate with such people, otherwise it could just be an academic study. So, therefore, you cannot understand Krishna consciousness simply by studying. You have to, it is like that. So, and Srila Bhakti Santa goes on to say, those who repeat teachings from memory do not necessarily understand the meanings of the words they mechanically repeat. Those who can pass an empiric examination regarding contents of the Shastra are not necessarily self-realized souls. And he goes on to say, take the name of Krishna, even ourselves. Now we know, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Vas Vigraha Punya Sura Nitya Matta Natmanama Namano. The transcendental sound vibration of Krishna is non different than Krishna, it is pure, liberated sound. It contains all mellows. But if we vibrate the word Krishna, can we say for sure that we understand all the subject matters or full realization of Krishna's name? So therefore, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is received through the Guru. The Guru gives you Krishna's name, actually. The Guru is, and it's very important. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, like that, we should say, oh, Krishna, this name has been given to us by our Guru. We are chanting this name, and by his grace, we are connecting with Krishna. Everything is connected to the Guru and to the sadhus. This is the point. And I'm just emphasizing this because of this verse where Chaitanya Nityananda has told this to go to Vrindavan. Why go to Vrindavan? Because there you will associate with such sadhus. Why associate with such sadhus? I'll tell you. So many verses. Satam pasanga mava virya sambhara vantikritkana rasana kata tajdrosana ashvabhagavat ni shvararatiya bhakti anushkrishma. By hearing from such devotees who realize the topic, who are advancing the spiritual, it is very pleasing to hear about Krishna and his lila, his pastimes. It is very pleasing to hear. And by cultivating such knowledge, you try to cultivate the knowledge of what they're speaking about, hearing from the Bhagavatam, about Krishna's pastimes, qualities, then you become advanced on the path of liberation. Because if you don't hear about Krishna, what are you going to hear about? You're going to hear about so many other activities in the material world, politics. I bet most of the men here have got a lot of taste for hearing about politics, isn't it? We love to talk. I'm talking about even just general management of the world. We have a great taste. We want to talk about politics. But we have to go beyond talking about politics, give up that kind of talk. It's not significant. We want to hear about what Krishna's doing at certain times of the day. We want to hear about what Krishna's, how he manifests this material universes. We want to hear about how Krishna is situated as the super soul in the heart of all jivas. And we want to hear how the pure devotee is in intimate touch with Krishna, and everything he says has significant meaning, and we want to follow his instructions. This is the reason why we need to associate with such devotees. So the pure devotee in that regard, he is the speaker of the transcendental language. The transcendental sounds makes his appearance on the lips of his devotees. It's not ambiguous. The divine sound appears in that way. And I'm studying this, just one more point on this. The writings, and you could say the writings of the sadhus, and the scriptures, they're very valuable because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says they demolish all empiric objections against the acceptance of the absolute truth. So if you are to understand what this world is, if you want to understand what this world is, all the different philosophies of the world, you have to study, you have to know. In this way, they're very valuable. But they cannot and were never intended to give access to the Absolute without the help of the pure devotee. They direct the sincere inquirer to the pure devotee. And like that. So this is a... And Prabhupada himself says in Bhagavatam 4:29-39, a devotee is always eager to hear from the lips of a liberated devotee. As soon as he hears from such a sadhu, he immediately becomes impregnated with Krishna consciousness. The secret of success is hearing from the right person. And what is the symptom of a Krishna conscious person? He is never disturbed by bodily necessities such as eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So, if you want to advance in spiritual life, seek out such devotees who are never disturbed by the material energy, or not in the modes of nature, who are completely free from the material energy. Now, you may say, how do I know, and what would be the qualifications for me to find out who's in? Well, then you have to pray to Krishna. And you have to use your intelligence, as Prabhupada said. You have to discriminate. We cannot be sentimental on these points. And generally, before you accept a guru, then you must test the guru. There must be a period of time when all of you accept any sadhu. Associate with them, get to know their character. Titikshiva kunukara suridas devadehinam. All the characteristics of a pure devotee are sublime. His character is perfect. He is never questionable about what he says and does. If someone is, questionable about the character, then you can make your own judgment. So there's no hurry. There's no hurry. Take your time. seek out bona fide teachers, surrender to them after a period of time, let there be an exchange. In that way, you're safely situated. And those who are acting as gurus, they must make sure they are not playing the part of a guru as a managerial role. That is not the position of a guru. Guru does not take position as a manager. Managerial role, meaning, I am now going to act as guru because the society requires the management of the initiation process must go on, therefore we must have gurus somewhere. No, that's not. The guru is self-effulgent to the disciple who is wishing to take shelter. So no one appoints gurus. Gurus are never appointed. Sometimes the Ritvik they say, well, Prabhupada, he didn't order anyone to be guru. Because Prabhupada said, on my order, become guru. But I don't know of any acharya who has ever, I don't think, appointed a guru. A guru is self-effulgent to the disciple. So the disciple, he wants to accept guru. He questions, he forms a relationship, and then it becomes clear to him, I want to accept you as a guru. And then if the guru wants, he can accept. That is the, it is not that someone takes that position because, oh, ISKCON needs initiations to go on, therefore we're going to appoint some gurus to act in that way. No, that's not how it works. And if someone takes such a position and he takes a role like that without being suitably qualified, he will not last. So therefore it's important that the spiritual master who takes on such a role, he has to be completely free from the three modes of material nature. He has to be liberated soul. Isn't it? Is it true what I'm saying? He has to be liberated soul. How can you have a guru who's in the modes of nature? Not possible. He has to be completely liberated from his body and his mind. His mind has to be, and that verse is there. What's that verse now? When one who has got completely free from the pushings of the mind, the pushings of the senses, the pushings of anger. Yeah, Achavegam, Manasavegam, yeah. That is the qualification of guru. He is automatically, he is free. Then he can accept disciples all over the world. So one who is not free, if a guru is thinking, whoa, this is a nice looking lady, and he starts to contemplate, then what is that guru? He's not guru. On the other hand, though, in the Nectar of Instruction, it's described that you can take Kanishtha as a guru, isn't it? Kanishtha, Madhyam, Uttama. These three. If you want to accept guru from a Kanishtha, you can accept. But it's not advisable. Kanishtha is someone who has faith in Krishna, but he is conditioned. He cannot see the glories of the devotees. And he is under the modes of nature, basically. So what is the value of accepting such a guru? How will he place you at the lotus feet of Krishna? He cannot. And Madhyam is also a very advanced devotee, actually. There's one purport where it is mentioned that the Madhyam is a via medium, because it's a very advanced soul. Madhyam is very advanced. He is fixed up. He constantly chants Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. He's very fixed up. So you can accept from a Madhyam. But ultimately, Prabhupada says you should accept Uttama, someone who is completely fixed up, who knows Shastra, the conclusion of the Shastra very well. That is described. So therefore, this is our business. We have to educate ourselves in these matters, and then we'll be fixed up properly, and we'll understand Krishna consciousness. Well, thank you very much for hearing me out. Did you have a question, Prabhu?